You've
just been given the word, guys. The word.
I'll just start talking.
Well, we go to ceremonies and people are talking, we say, "Ntohtamok." The scholars will say that. And so if you ever go to a ceremony and you hear that, you're supposed to just settle down. Go ahead.
I think many of you have heard about Father Lacombe. And he was in this part of Alberta, and actually he spent some time with some of Roy's relatives. This is his original Cree French dictionary, and you're welcome to take a look at it. And it's just really special. This one is 1874. It had to be rebound, but it's really special. And we have a lot of archaeologists that come to our place, and they just cringe how we handle stuff. But, you know, what's going to happen when we go on? I mean, what does it matter, right? And I think that, especially when I work with children, they need to feel things. You know, sometimes they have to lick things or smell them. But that's how we learn, right? So if we have to wear gloves and treat these like they are treasures, but if you can't feel them, what's the point of having them? So, well, just if you want to take a peek at this, I'll pass it around. Okay? Roy talked about treaties, and he talked about Treaty 6. One of the signatures to Treaty 6 was a man called Star Blanket. And Roy, you say it in Cree? So this is a story on his life, and it's so fascinating. And the librarian. And these books are available if you ever have a chance to read them, right? So this was his, at the signing of the treaty, this was his. He had this at the treaty. So it was come to Roy, and it's so special in our home.
Ceremonial. And the reason why it's not really worth anything is because somebody put paint on it.
And what's really...
It was a ceremonial tomahawk.
Yes, metal. And what's really neat, because if you go back to 1876, so when I would do workshops with kids, and we show them the rocks, and we show them, you know, the different arrowheads and things like that, and then we show them this, and we talk about the comparison, you know, which one was stronger, which one would last longer. So it's really nice to have. This is a really old artifact. There's a lot of really good books out there, and there's getting to be more and more books. And we just talked a minute ago about Native scholars, and we have a lot of them writing books. And you have to just reflect back for a moment. There hasn't been a lot, because things have been passed down, right? It's orality. And so things haven't been captured, but they're starting to. The younger people are starting to write stories, so there's more and more available. So this is a really neat one. This is, again, out of Saskatchewan, and they told us their stories. There's so many of these books out if you're really interested in reading. You'll put these up, and you can't put them down, and it's got pictures of permits in here, what it was like to live back then and to have permission, you know, just to go to town to buy groceries. Like, it was just phenomenal. Roy talked about Big Bear. Big Bear has a lot of descendants in our community. And he didn't sign a script. He actually hung out a bit with Louis Riel and ended up down in the States and came back. And this tells his story. You will not put it down. It's just fascinating. And if we could get our young people and our kids, you know, reading these books, you know, they don't need all these superheroes from the States or all these others, because they have their own. So we're really encouraging kids. Another book that's really close to Roy and I is one by Hugh Dempsey. Have you guys ever heard of Hugh Dempsey? When I went to university, he used to be a guest lecturer, and he's written a lot of books about Alberta. This one is very special, and actually Roy and I had a hand in helping him do this one. This is called Skipton. So Roy, do you want to talk a little bit more about it, or just pass it around?
Oh, pass it. He's a relative. That's all I'll say.
And Wetaskiwin got his name, got their name from this man. And he was such an amazing person. Have you ever been up to Rundle Mission out on Pigeon Lake, right? Rundle Mission is some original syllabics that this man wrote. He was one of the first men to go around and preach the word of God with Cree syllabics. He went from place to place and taught about from the syllabics. So that's, if you want to pass that around, it's really interesting. One of my very favorite books, and again, it's so funny. I was here in 1970. We used to call it CLC, right, college. And we had three buildings. But I was really interested through the years, always in Native education, learning as much as I can. One of the books I initially had was this one by David Mavrobaum. This one is phenomenal, even to this day. You can still buy it. Because what happened is the author of this person spent a day with the chief finding. And the ceremonies that he writes about are so authentic. They're so so precisely written down that many elders read this book just to refresh themselves so they don't miss anything. Like, this is phenomenal. Anything you want to read about, like the Sundance. The pictures in here are amazing. Like, I mean, different, and it describes different things. I mean, if you're interested, this is a great read. I won't get into the rest of them, Roy. Oh, and I want Roy to tell the story of this. This is about his relative.
This medal that you see in front here is given to my grandfather, Joe Sampson, in 1901. It was given by Duke and Duchess of Cornwall in York in 1901. What happened was he was invited to go to Calgary. You know where Saguenay Trail is, that area? Right there. They had a big ceremony there because the Duke and Duchess were there. And he was, there was only two Cree people that were invited from the north. Remember, you have to have a permit to go away from the reservation, right? So it probably took him 2 or 3 days to get to Calgary. And he received a medal from the Duke and Duchess. That medal was lost for over 50 years. And it came back into our community last year. It came from, one of Judy's coattail relatives from Panoka, who sits on the Stampede board, and wanted to know what to do with this because they felt that they should go back. They found that medal in a dump many years ago, so the family kept it, and they didn't know what to do with it. So when they wanted to do something about it, they started doing research, and there's the article. It was done 2 years after 1901. And you will see Joe Sampson's speech at that time. He was the only one that was asked to speak on behalf of the First Nations people, all the chiefs that were there. There was 2,500 people there with the Blackfoot, Stoney, Satina, and Cree, the two Cree people. So that medal was given to him. And we did a ceremony for the man. We took him to a ceremony. He received a Cree name. And at the water ceremony, if some of you were there, he was given a belt, right? I mean, a blanket. We did a blanket ceremony for him, too. So that's our way of thanking him for bringing the medal back. And I've talked to quite a few elders in our community, and they said they keep it for now. They don't want it to disappear from the band office.
I'll just pass this article around. I won't read it to you, but there's a little... a speech on page 80 that's phenomenal. The wisdom and, you know, sharing the land together, being under one flag, and conceding that, you know, these people are here and we can work together, we can live together. And it's really neat because this comes out of the manual that was written, and the Duke and Duchess, their pictures, and there's some also in the back of the number of people that were there. It's a really fascinating piece of history.
Okay. No, for your information, we want to do a quick timeline.
Really quick?
Yes, not really quick, but quick enough to. So these guys want to get out of here by
midnight.
The exam is tomorrow morning at 9.
I'm set to fly at 4:30 to race on the Nationals. He's flying out to Toronto tomorrow.
Oh.
So talk fast.
Okay. Okay, 5,000 years ago, we had pemmican, right? What is pemmican?
Yummy.
Yummy. Besides yummy, what is it? What did you do to make it? Yeah. What else?
Grind it together.
Yeah. What else?
Yes.
Yes. What kind of berries? Yes. All right. Pemmican. That's good. Okay, Vikings. These are Judy's relatives. 1000 AD. Okay. 1450, European explorers arrived in North America. Yeah, right, that's true. But this man here, a very distinguished gentleman, Christopher Columbus. And he also brings sources to this continent. 1492. Yep. Next. Name given to Canada by the Hurons is Kanata. In Cree, we say Kakanata, the clean land. The same in the Huron. Kanata. Okay. Some of Judy's relatives came on this Mayflower.
No, the Arabella.
Oh, well, the next one. Sorry. They missed the first one. Okay. This was in 1634. People were introduced to the Europeans, and of course, they brought the disease, and many deaths occurred. 1640, Iroquois Confederacy. The first treaty that was signed between First Nations and New France in 1640. And of course, you know the colors that we use on Hudson Bay blanket? The shroud, the blanket that we use. Shroud was made in Shroud, England, and purchased by Hudson Bay. Of course, they brought that along with all kinds of other goodies into Canada. And that's important, the colors that I think they identified with the ceremonies. We use those colors. And I've seen shroud that was used for medicine bundles. They're about that, like so. And shroud was used for that, the medicine bundles.
But now a meter is $40.
Yeah. I don't think they sell it anymore. Halford Hyde had them, used to sell them. But it was so expensive, it just nobody wanted to buy it. $40 a meter. This is very important if you want to go further into the studies of First Nations people. 1763 Royal Proclamation. They'll always tell you this, you'll always see this, but this is very important to First Nations in Canada. Of course, you all know that there's up to 60 million buffalo in prairies. And in here, there's a site just by Hardesty. There's a what they call a Waktukamg, where they used to run the buffalo into the paddy or the corral. Buffalo jump in Veteran, by veterans, by Nose Hills area. That was used by the Cree people, by my relatives. My grandmother actually went there to see a buffalo jump. And the Dry Island Provincial Park, you ever been there? Anyone?
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. That was used by our Cree people, too, in that area, for buffalo jumps. And also, of course, the Head Smash and Buffalo Jump. That was also used by the Cree, not just the Blackfoot.
Right.
This is Maskipton. He wondered why he had three different friends, religious friends, and he wondered which heaven he was supposed to go to. But anyway, Maskipton is the brother to Ganatakaso, the chief there. He's the first chief of Samson Cree Nation. And he saw the pictures on there with Maskipton. That was his brother. So that's my lineage on my father's side. My grandmother lived to be 104. Some say 110, but according to our own records, she was way over 100 years old. But we don't know exactly how old she was, but we always say 104. And she was a daughter, granddaughter of Maskipton. You know this big story about the First Nations people being involved in the War of 1812? And that's true. Joseph House, my mom was a house. She came from Goodfish Lake area. She was a Cootery. Her maiden name. But he was a great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather on my mother's side. My mother was the granddaughter of James Seenum, or Pagan, the man who signed Treaty 6 in Fort Pitt. So this is, I checked into it. There's one book left in London, England. And Judy and I checked into this on the internet last year, a couple of years ago, I guess. And they wanted £19,500 for it. So I thought, not this cowboy.
I have to tell you a really funny story. We were doing a workshop in Jasper with a whole bunch of horses in Cree, and Roy got something like this, and he was talking about Joseph House. And afterwards, this guy, this monkey, came up to Roy, and he says, you know what? this is my great, great, great grandfather. And he said, how could he be yours too, right? Turns out he really is this guy's great, great, great grandson. But what happened is a lot of these guys, they came over from London, whatever, and had country wives. And then they went back, but they left the wife behind with all these children. And they went back and they never told them that they had all these kids and another wife in another country. And so now they're just going back and trying to trace their roots. So it's kind of funny. It's really funny. They got caught many hundreds of years later.
Still a living legend.
Yeah.
This is John Evans, who created the Cree syllabics for us in the West in 1840. And of course, shortly after that, Maskipton learned to read Cree syllabics, do Cree syllabics, and wrote, interpreted the Bible, Cree Bible, Cree syllabics. This is a very simple to know the syllabics. If you know your Cree syllabics, you can speak Cree fluently in a very short time. This is, of course, I just threw that in, since everybody loves hockey.